reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 1, text 18. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse is spoken by Manu to the head priest, Vasishtha Muni. So he's saying to Vasishtha, Vasishtha Muni, you and all the other Brahmins assembled there, you are all self-controlled, well-balanced in mind, and aware of the absolute truth. And because of austerities and penances, you are completely cleansed of all material contamination. Your words, like those of the demigods, are never baffled. Then how is it possible that your determination has failed? Purport. We have learned from many Vedic literatures that a benediction or a curse given by the demigods never proves false. By performing austerities and penances, by controlling the senses and mind, and by achieving full knowledge of the absolute truth, one is fully cleansed of material contamination. Then, one's words and blessings, like those of the demigods, are never a failure. Om and Jnana Timurandasya, Jnana Jnana Shalakaya, Chakshurun Militam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha, Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this verse, Manu is glorifying Vasishtha for his saintly qualities. And in this verse, four saintly qualities are mentioned. These qualities are meant to be developed and cultivated by any saintly person, whether you're a muni, a rishi, a yogi, or a bhakta. A bhakta, a bhakti yogi, he's also a saintly person. So here, Vasishtha is a muni. He's the head priest of the sacrifice. And Manu is a little concerned because Manu engaged Vasishtha Muni and his fellow priests to perform a yajna. The purpose of the yajna was to produce a son. But somehow, the first child that was born was a daughter. A daughter was born from the yajna. So then Manu is asking, how has this happened? Has there been some fault or vaishamya? Vaishamya kilbishaha. Vaishamya kilbishaha. Has there been some break or fault or discrepancy in your chanting of the mantras? Because if the mantras are chanted improperly, then you get an improper result. Just like chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna mantra, there are three levels of chanting. The first level is completely incorrect. The first level is the completely wrong way to chant. And that's called aparad nam. When you chant the holy name and commit many offenses, many aparad, seva aparad, Vaishnava aparad, guru aparad, veda aparad, dharma, sanatan dharmist aparad, devata aparad, many aparads are there. Das aparad. So if these aparads are performed while chanting, then your chanting is incorrect and you will get an incorrect result. You will get the wrong result from your chanting of mantra. So when you chant aparad nam, what do you get? You get sense gratification. It's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita that when you're chanting Hare Krishna and committing aparads, you are pouring water. Because a plant, a lata, or a plant, requires sunshine and water to grow. So we, metaphorically, or by analogy, each devotee is a mali. He's a mali, or a gardener. He's trying to grow a plant, a small plant. A creeper of devotion. It is called bhakti lata bija, or bhakti lata. However, so how does that creeper grow? That creeper grows by shravanam and kirtanam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, hearing about Krishna and chanting about Krishna. But if we're chanting about Krishna and committing aparads, then our chanting is faulty. Our chanting is wrong. And it will not nourish, or feed the bhakti lata, but it will feed the karma lata. It will feed the karma lata, and it will feed the jnana lata, and the bhog lata. It will feed, that chanting will feed that creeper, that plant of enjoyment, sense gratification, material attraction, bodily attachment, hankar. So that type of chanting is wrong chanting. Vaishamya kilbishaha. Just like the Brahmins, one of the Brahmanas in this yajna, he chanted the mantras in a different way and they got a daughter. If he chanted the mantras correctly chanted the mantras, he would have produced the son that was requested by Manu. So in the same way, we are supposed to chant the mantra correctly. So the first level of wrong chanting is called aparad nam. You're chanting with aparad. And the second level, which is half right and half wrong, is called namabhas. Namabhas. That's, you're chanting mantras, not correctly, but not exactly incorrectly. That's called namabhas. You're not making any aparad. So by that chanting, you will get result. You'll get good result. You'll get detached from this body. You'll get attached to Krishna. This is the result of namabhas. That you'll lose your attraction for the material world and increase your attraction and affection for Krishna and his devotees. And then the perfect level of chanting, when you chant the mantra perfectly and correctly, with purity, purity of mind, purity of purpose, and purity of desire, then that chanting of Hare Krishna mantra gives the full 100% result. That chanting is called Shuddha, Shuddha Nam, pure chanting. So when you chant purely, then what do you get? Krishna Prema. You become dear to Krishna. You become Krishna Priya. Krishna Prema. So this comes from the pure chanting. So this is one point we can see from this verse. But the main point we want to learn is these saintly qualities give one power. If one develops saintly qualities, he gets power. There is power in purity. Pure foods have more power than impure foods. Pure thoughts have more power than impure thoughts. So there's a power in purity. So these principles that are mentioned here in this verse, there's four principles mentioned by Manu to Vasishtha. And he says, because you have these four, you have lived a lifetime, you have practiced and lived a lifetime with these four principles, therefore you have Brahma Tejas. You have Brahma Tejas. You have power. You have influence. So you have the power to chant mantras correctly. You have the power to do anything with this yajna. So that's why I'm wondering what happened. So of course we will find that the problem or difficulty was not caused by Vasishtha Muni, but it was caused by one of the Brahmins who chanted incorrectly. So we can examine these four aspects of this verse and try to apply them in our own life to increase our own purity. Prabhupada explained that purity is the force. Purity means shakti. Purity means power, energy. So that is the force by which we spread Krishna consciousness, by purity. So there's four elements, there's four aspects of this verse which will help us become more and more pure. The first one is listed by Manu Maharaj. Manu Maharaj, of course, is the father of mankind. So the first thing he says, Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya means Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya means knowledge of Brahman. Understanding the absolute truth. the study of Vedic literatures. By studying Vedic literatures, by studying Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, Puranas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, Upavedas, Itihasas, by studying these Shastras, we attain purity. Prabhupada explains in one purport, transcendental knowledge is the greatest of all purifiers. Transcendental knowledge is the greatest of all purifiers. That means Divya Gyan Mahapavitra. Right? Divya Gyan Mahapavitra. Topmost purity comes from transcendental knowledge. It's explained in the Vedas in chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that this transcendental knowledge, it acts like a fire. It's like a burning fire. This Brahma Vidya. And what does that fire burn? What does it consume? The fire of transcendental knowledge burns to ashes. It burns to ashes the mentality of sense gratification. As you study transcendental knowledge more and more and more, your mentality means your mind, your thinking, your feeling, your willing, becomes burned to ashes. Annihilated, finished, destroyed by the purifying, raging fire of transcendental knowledge. This is the analogy. This knowledge is a fire, and it burns up all sinful reactions, all the prarabdha karma, anarabdha karma, and arabdha karma becomes burned by transcendental knowledge. It is the greatest of purifying elements. Now, we can ask the question, is my mentality pure and free from desires for sense gratification? Because when we study more and more transcendental knowledge, our mentality becomes purified, and what second thing happens? A natural detachment appears in our heart, and we automatically, by attaining Brahma Vidya, by studying the transcendental glories of Krishna, we automatically become austere and detached. And that's another quality mentioned here, tapasa, isn't it? Tapasa. Tapasa means austerities, penances. So this transcendental knowledge has that effect, that it makes us, it purifies our mentality. It burns to ashes the mentality of sense gratification, identifying with this body, thinking I am this body, I am man, I am woman, I am Indian, I am American, I am strong, I am weak. This knowledge has that power. And then as a result of that knowledge, a natural attraction awakens for Krishna, and naturally you become austere and detached. So why are we not becoming austere? Why are we not becoming detached? Because we are not attaining sufficient Brahma Vidya. That we have to do by our own effort. But of course, how does that fire of Brahma Vidya, of transcendental knowledge, how is it ignited? You understand ignited? Lit. How is it lit or ignited within your heart? How is that done? Transcendental knowledge will act like a fire, but a fire has to be started, has to be ignited or lit. So how will that be done? By Guru, correct. By Guru. Guru ignites the fire of transcendental knowledge within the heart of the disciple. That is Guru. He starts the fire. The analogy that's given is the guru is like one piece of lakri, like arani, arani lakri. Arani lakri is used for jagya. So you take one piece of wood and a second piece of wood and you rub them. And you rub them, you create friction, then heat, and then fire will come by rubbing two pieces of wood. So the spiritual master is one piece of wood. And a disciple is another piece of wood. And when they come together, by their contact, by the contact and association with the bona fide guru, there is friction. And a fire is produced, the fire of transcendental knowledge in the heart. And that fire burns up the mentality of sense gratification. We no longer think about sense gratification. But if one piece of wood is wet, wet wood, no fire will come. If the guru is wet, he has no knowledge, no purity, no realization. But the disciple is dry. The shishya is shuka. Shuka shishya. Right? Shuka is dry. He's shuka shishya. He's a dry. He's ready to learn. He's open. He has faith. He submits himself to guru. So he's ready to burn. He wants to burn up that mentality. He wants to receive. He's desirous. He's intensely desirous to receive spiritual knowledge and learn about God and learn about this world and the reality of Atmatattva Gyan. So he approaches guru. But the guru is wet. So when they rub together, they associate nothing. No knowledge, no wisdom is ignited in the heart of that disciple. No spiritual knowledge. So they may be guru and disciple, but the disciple never gets rid. He never gets free from the sense gratification mentality. He's always thinking how to enjoy. Because the guru is bogus. So this Brahma Vidya is very powerful. It destroys sins. Bija, the seed, the karma bija is destroyed by Brahma Vidya. So what is the conclusion? We have to read more, more, more. This is not reading. This is jagya. This is purification. This is a great medicine. Shastra Oshadi. Shastra Oshadi. This medicine will clean us. It will cleanse the heart of ahankar and kam and krodh and lobh, all these things, just by reading transcendental literature. This is Brahma Vidya. It will fill you with the light of Brahman. It's like a bright sunshine. Krishna Surya Sama Mayahaya Andhakara. So this knowledge of Bhagavatam, this is required. So this is the first point. The Shishtamuni is glorified because he has Brahma Vidya. He has knowledge of the Absolute Truth. He knows Brahman. He has realized God. So we have to do that also. By our own endeavor, we have to strive. We have to strive to attain transcendental knowledge. By study, by serious study. Prabhupada said, I have written these books for you, my disciples, not for selling. Selling we're doing also. Also I wrote them for selling. But first I'm writing them for you, my disciples. Why are you not reading my books? Prabhupada would often meet with the disciples. Why are you not reading my books? So this is the first point. So the second point that's mentioned is yuktas. Yuktaha. So yuktaha means to be engaged. To be engaged, to be equipped. Actually, the acharyas explain that yuktaha means to be engaged in the practice of bhakti yoga. To be engaged in the practice of bhakti yoga. Because by that yuktaha, by that practice, one becomes connected, or yoga, joined or connected with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Yuktaha. So Prabhupada translates this word yuktaha. Manu Maharaj is glorifying the Shishtamuni by saying, you are yuktaha. You have controlled your senses and you have a balanced mind. Your mind is balanced. So yuktaha means the same as sama. Sama. Sama means to have mental equilibrium. Mental equilibrium. A balanced mind. But how does one attain a balanced mind? The pure devotee of Krishna, his mind is balanced. He has attained mental equilibrium. How is the pure devotee attained a balanced mind and mental peace, peaceful mind, mental equilibrium? Because he is always fixing his intelligence, his buddhi. He is always fixing his intelligence and absorbing his intelligence in the Absolute Truth. Krishna. He is always fixed in the absolute truth with his consciousness and his intelligence. So therefore, his mind is very peaceful. And his mind is completely controlled by three aspects. His mind is controlled by three features. The pure devotee, he controls his mind by thinking, he controls his mind by feeling, and he controls his mind by willing. Thinking, feeling, and willing. So he always thinks of Krishna. How to serve Krishna, how to glorify Krishna, how to please Krishna. And he has feelings, he directs and gives his feelings to Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Every living entity has the capacity to feel, have feelings, to love, bhav, priti, prema. That is innate in every living entity. A mother cat has love for her kittens. A mother dog has love for her puppies. A lioness has love for her lion cubs. She has affection and feelings in every living entity. But in the human species, it is most developed. Rasa, bhava, prema, it is most developed in this body. The Atma in this body has the greatest capacity to express feelings and love, because he's closer to the spiritual form of God, because the spiritual form of God is Manushrup, human-like form. And God is the Rasaraj, he's the abode of all leelas and all rasas and all feelings. So the pure devotee, his mind is peaceful and balanced because his intelligence is fixed on the absolute truth, fixed on Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. And his mind is always thinking of how to serve Krishna, and all his feelings, all of his love, all of his feelings are directed towards the devotees and the Supreme Lord. Pleasing Krishna, pleasing the devotees, satisfying Krishna, satisfying the devotees, serving Krishna, serving the devotees. Thinking, feeling, and what is the last function of the mind? Willing. Willpower. This principle of willpower is one of the four principles that's mentioned in this verse. We have Brahma Vidya. Then we have Tapasa, or we have Yuktaha. Now we're discussing Yuktaha. Yuktaha means sense control, balanced mind, mental equilibrium. Then we have tapasa. Tapasa means austerity, penance. Then the last point we have is sankalpa. Sankalpa means vow, determination. Anyway, we'll get to that. We'll go step by step. So this is the second point, yuktaha, that one must become balanced in mind. And it's not possible to have mental equilibrium or mental peace unless one is engaged in the service of Krishna. So now it talks about tapasa, renunciation, penance, austerity. So austerity, this also purifies the existence. The acharyas mention that devotees observe penances like Ekadasi Vrata. And of course, what is the greatest austerity, especially in Kali Yuga? Prabhupada mentions in one purport, the greatest austerity in Kali Yuga is celibacy. Because by observing the vow of celibacy, one attains great purity of mind. So this is the greatest of austerities, especially in Kali Yuga. And when one follows regulative principles, they get tremendous power. Religious principles are called regulative principles. So one of those is no illicit sex. So, or chastity. We see in Vedic history the examples of great chaste ladies and how much power they had by observing this one principle of tapasa. We're talking about tapasya, austerity and penance. So brahmacharya, or chastity, is a form of austerity. It is a form of penance. So if one is very chaste, if a wife is very chaste to her husband, Prabhupada explains in one purport that if a wife is very chaste to her husband, she will become enriched. She will become enriched with supernatural power. You understand this English? She will become enriched. She will become full of, enriched. Like rich, she will become enriched with supernatural power. And many examples are there. We look at the example of the chaste wife of Lord Ram, Sita. She had the power of chastity, the power of purity. Purity is a force. Purity is a power. Shud Shakti, the power of purity. So when Ravana tried to, when he kidnapped her, she cursed him. I curse you, you'll be finished. So, what? Just see the supernatural power of Sita Devi. One very thin lady who was fasting for so many years, eating fruits and berries. She wasn't even her normal, she was 10, 20 kilos less than normal. So much thin. Hardly, lady doesn't have much power, but Sita had even less power. Fasting, eating, she's not eating ghee and puris and laddus and rich kingly food of Ayodhya. She's not the queen of Ayodhya. She's banished to the forest, eating roots and berries. No one gets big and strong on roots and berries. Anybody here go to the forest, eat some roots, some mool, dasamool, and some fruit fall. See how fat you are after 2 years. See how strong you are after 2 years. So she had no power, physical power, but she had this supernatural power just by a few words. And that's also mentioned here. We talk about words in this verse. Just by a few words of Sita, Ravana lost everything. He lost his position, he lost his kingdom, he lost his wealth, he lost his family, he lost his very life. Just by a few words from Sita, I curse you that you'll be finished for touching me. Just see the power of chastity. So there are many examples of great chaste personalities. So this is the power, tapasa brahmacharyena, tapo divyam pujukayena sattvam, shudyad yashmad brahmasokyam tvanantam. Rishabhadev explains that human life is meant for austerities. Tapo divyam pujukayena sattvam, shudyad yashmad brahmasokyam tvanantam. When you perform austerities, you become peaceful, sattva. Become peaceful, you become pure, shuddha sattva. And then brahma sokyam tvanantam. You can experience the happiness of the soul by attaining brahma vidya, by engaging the senses and mind in Krishna's service, yukta, and by austerity, by following these four regulative principles, you become pure. And you can experience brahma sokyam tvanantam. There is no end to the happiness of Brahman, brahma sukh. It's more and more and more. It is unlimited, it is spiritual, it's ever increasing, it's ever expanding. Anandam buddhi bhardanam. Bhardanam means to expand more and more and more, and ambudi means ocean, an ever expanding ocean of bliss. An ever-expanding ocean of bliss, that is Krishna consciousness, which can be derived by incorporating these principles. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Anti Lila, Lord Chaitanya is explaining that renunciation is the main quality of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vairagya. Vairagya is one of the main distinguishing qualities of the followers of Lord Chaitanya is Vairagya, detachment. But as a devotee becomes detached from this world by the process of attaining transcendental knowledge, serving Guru, controlling his mind and senses, performing austerities and penances, while that goes on, he attains an inner wealth. He attains an inner wealth of prema, of love for Krishna. He's giving up this world, because the devotee, he is not attracted. His scope of existence, his interest, the devotee, why is a devotee detached?
in this world. The devotee is equipoised in happiness and distress, and he's equipoised in heat and cold, honor and dishonor, because his self-interest, what is the self-interest of a devotee? His self-interest of a devotee lies beyond the scope of this material world. So therefore, a devotee is not disturbed by the external movements of this material world. Happiness, distress, heat, cold, honor, dishonor. His self-interest is not this world. Where is his self-interest? His self-interest is in the spiritual world. His consciousness is fixed in pleasing Krishna. His consciousness is fixed on meditating on the spiritual world and the spiritual reality of the loving dealings between Krishna and his eternally liberated pure devotees. So therefore, he doesn't have any interest in this material world. He's detached from it. So whatever happens, the newspaper, he doesn't read newspapers, he doesn't care, this thing, that thing. Well, this is not my interest. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I carry out my duties if I'm a family man. I have my duties, I raise my family, I do my job, I take care. That's my dharma, that's my duties. But that is not my self-interest. That is not the interest of my atma. That is the body and some karmas I'm working off. But my real love is for Krishna. My real goal of life is not money, but prema. The real purpose of my existence is mukti, not bhog. So this is the mentality of the devotee. So now we have this word sankalpa, fourth quality, sankalpa. It's, what does he say? It says sankalpa vishamyam. So the word sankalpa, it means many things. Of course, so it means to accept, because when we're describing the nature of the mind, mana, mana lakshana, the mana lakshana is two, sankalpa, vikalpa. Sankalpa means to accept, and vikalpa means to reject. I like you, I don't like you, I want this, I don't want this, you're nice, you're not nice, you're my friend, you're my enemy. Today I accept you, you're my friend, you're my wife, and 20 years later, you're my enemy, goodbye. Right? Divorce. Accept, reject. This is the mind. So this is sankalpa, one meaning, accepting. But also sankalpa means mental resolve, a vow, a determination, willpower. So how does this apply to a devotee's life? A devotee must have a very firm sankalpa. He must be very determined. Sankalpa means the willpower, the inner determination, the vow that I must get out of this material world in this life. Prabhupada used to very emphatically say to his disciples, don't take another birth. Finish your business in this lifetime. And I'm not talking about your factory business. I'm not talking about... He said, finish the business of human life. The business of human life is Krishna prema. Develop pure love for God. So Prabhupada would say, finish this business in this one life. In this very life, go back to Godhead. Don't take another birth. This is a hellish place. You think Delhi is nice? So hot in the summer, so cold in the winter, so much traffic, so much people, so much pollution, air pollution, water pollution, food pollution, mind pollution. You think it's a nice place? It's like hell. I call Delhi helly. At birth here, the husband will become a woman, and the wife will become a man, just rotating in samsara chakra. So the Prabhupada said, have this, this is sankalpa. Firm mental resolve, dhrita prata. You're determined, I don't want this material life. I don't want this cycle of birth and death. I want to get out. I want to get liberated. I want to go back to Godhead. I want to serve Krishna eternally in the land of Vrindavan with full love and knowledge and blissful pastimes of love. This is sankalpa. So in business, in the business field, material business, not spiritual business, but in the material business field, often they work on this principle, sankalpa. Set your mind. Program your mind for success. You have to, whatever you set your mind to, you can do it. So this is talking about sankalpa. When you talk about setting your mind to a goal, that's called sankalpa. Fixing your mind on a goal. So these are the four points that Manu Maharaj is giving us in this verse to remind us how we have to develop these four things to attain the purity. And then what's the result of that purity? Is that your words will have power. Your words will have power. Because in this verse, Manu Maharaj is saying, you have these four things. And your words have power. Your blessings. The blessings of the demigods and the blessings of munis like you. They have power. They have shakti. Why? Because you have these four things. You have lived an entire lifetime. How has Vasishtha Muni attained such power that simply by saying something it comes true? Simply if he gives someone a blessing or boon, it will happen. He's attained it in these four ways. By living a whole lifetime of acquiring Brahma Vidya, spiritual transcendental knowledge. By living a whole lifetime of Yuktaha, controlling his senses and his mind. And keeping a peaceful mind by engaging in service of the Supreme. And by tapasa, by following intense bratas, chaturmasya brata, this brata, that brata, austerities and penances. And fourthly, by sankalpa, by being very, very determined to attain perfection. Great, great fixation, great willpower. And willpower is something that you build. It's like your muscles. Your muscles may be weak and you lift, you get some weight. And then after some time, very big. Now more. And then you eat some protein powders and everything and pretty soon, now I'm getting tough. So the mind is like a muscle. It is weak. Mandasamundamatiyo. Mandasumundamatiyo. Shukamuni says in Bhagavatam, first canto, in the age of Kali, everyone's mind is weak. Everyone is lazy. Completely lazy and slow and stupid. So the mind is very weak. Durabalamana. Durabalamana means very weak. Very weak mind. Durabal. Bala means strong, right? Durabalamana. So this mind can become strong by practice. That's what Krishna tells Arjuna in the Gita when Arjuna says, how do I control the mind? It's like, and Krishna says, by practice. By practice and by detachment. You follow these four regulative principles of spiritual life, you follow four religious principles, and you practice detachment. So what are one of the principles of detachment? How do you practice? How do you practice with the mind? By employing the principle and using the principle of sankalpa. Every time you have to send this affirmation to your mind. I don't want it, I don't want it. No Maya, no Maya, no Maya. Every time Maya enters your mind, you say, no, I want Krishna. No, I want Krishna. No, I want Krishna. So that's like lifting weights. One rep, two rep, three rep, they call it reps. Four reps, five, six. And if you do 20, 30 every day, wow. So every time you say no to Krishna, no Maya, no Maya, no Maya, yes Krishna, yes Krishna, no Maya, yes Krishna. So every time, that's called sankalpa, mental resolve. And the mind, the more you do that and you practice that over and over, mental affirmation, sending these positive vibrations to your mind becomes strong, becomes powerful. Of course, it's combined with your service and everything else. But this is the principle of sankalpa. You build, willpower is something you build. Self-confidence is something you build. So this is the level of sankalpa. So then you'll have purity. Purity is the force of preaching. So we see that when a pure devotee, Prabhupada explains, that when a pure devotee speaks on the Srimad Bhagavatam, or speaks on the Vedas, he has the potency to inject spiritual life into the hearts of his audience. This is exactly the phrase Prabhupada uses. The pure devotee has the potency to inject. You know injection? Injection. He has the power to inject spiritual life into the heart of the listeners. Because he has these four things. Brahma Vidya. He has Brahma Tejas. So we are meant to become pure devotees of the Lord. So we can inject spiritual life. But we see if a person who is not a pure devotee, He's a professional Bhagavat reciter, Bhagavat Saptaha reciter. He's materialistic. He doesn't have Brahma Vidya or Tapasya or Sankalpa. He's very much in this world. He's not determined to get out of this world. He likes this world. He has a brand new sumo and a new color TV and a new house. He's enjoying. He's enjoying the fruits of his Bhagavat Saptaha. So he doesn't have any, his words don't have any power. Because this is the last point of this verse where Manu Maharaj says, your words have power. Vishamyam, he says, Vishamyam, there must be some discrepancy in the mantras. Because ordinarily, as Prabhupada says in the purport, the demigods, they're blessings. They're blessings. And the blessings of rishis and munis, blessings means their words. They have power. We talk about Brahman Tejas because of Brahmana. A Brahmana represents the mouth of the Lord. Right? The Brahmana represents the head of the society. The head of the social system is the Brahmana. Why is that? Because the Brahmana, he speaks on behalf of the Lord. He speaks on behalf of the Lord and he eats on behalf of the Lord. So his mouth, the head of society is the Brahmana. And his mouth, this is where his words come from and his blessings come from. So if he has these four principles in his life, then he has Brahma Tejas. His words have power. They have purity. The power of purity. Purity is power. Purity is power, as we heard from the example of Sita Devi. Just by a few words from her mouth, Ravana was finished. No demigod could defeat Ravana. Indra, Chandra, none of them. But a few little words from the mouth of Sita, see the power of her words. See the power of the words of Sita. Just a few words. So this is the power of the Brahmana. The pure Brahmana, it's explained that when a pure Brahmana speaks, actually Krishna is speaking through the mouth of a Brahmana. Because his mouth represents Krishna. If he's a really pure Brahmana, with truly has Brahman Tejas, which is acquired by these really having these four principles, then when he speaks, he is speaking on behalf of Krishna. Krishna is directly speaking through the mouth of a Brahmana. So that is why when a pure Brahmana speaks, or a pure devotee speaks, that is why there is power, there is ability to inject spiritual life into the heart of the audience. Because that Shakti is Krishna Shakti. Krishna Shakti. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. There's one Bengali shloka. Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. In Kali, the Dharma is Sankirtan. Nam Sankirtan, glorifying the Lord with drums and cymbals, singing in bhajan, glorifying Krishna's name. Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. Sri Krishna Govinda Hare Marari Nata Narayana Vasudeva. That's Nam Sankirtan. That's also Nam Sankirtan. Sri Krishna Govinda Hare Marari Nata Narayana Vasudeva. That's Nam Sankirtan. So this Nam Sankirtan, the Brahmana speaking, he can inject power into the audience because this is Krishna. Krishna is coming out of his mouth and entering into the heart. It is Krishna Shakti. So these are some points of this verse. The question is, everyone heard? He asked that the principle of Sankalpa employs the first two principles of surrender. There are six limbs of Sharanagati. And the first one is to accept Sankalpa, to accept those things that are favorable for Krishna's service and favorable for the pleasure of Krishna and Guru. And then the second principle of surrender, there are six principles. The second is Vikalpa, to reject, to throw away, to discard those activities, that type of thinking, that type of attitude, which is unfavorable for the service of Krishna. How do you keep away from the attitude where we say, yes to Krishna, yes Krishna, yes Krishna, Naya, well, no, maybe. Maybe, we have a word in English, maybe. Maybe means not yes and not no. Maybe, Tora, Tora Maya, Tora. So he's asking, how do we keep away from this attitude, the maybe attitude? The maybe. Maybe just a little bit. Kripalesha. Oh, Maya, Kripalesha. Lesha means small bit. Give me a little bit of your mercy. I'll take a little bit of your mercy. So how do we get that power to say a very affirmative and emphatic no? No, Maya. By pleasing Guru. By pleasing Guru with our service and doing the things properly. By proper execution of bhajan, we get the power to say no to Maya. Wow, what does Krishna say in Gita? He answers your question. Chapter 10, verse 10. Tesham sadatayuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami dadami buddhi yogatam yenamam puyanti te. He says, I give you intelligence. Intelligence means discrimination. Intelligence means the power to say no. This is wrong. No. This is right. Yes. That's discrimination. That comes from buddhi. And Krishna gives buddhi. To who? Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Tesham satata yuktanam. Yukta, like I said, yuktaha. This word is here, yuktaha. Tesham satata yuktaha. Yuktaham, to mean be engaged with. One is always engaged in the practice of bhakti yoga, or to be equipped with. It means equipped or engaged. Tesham satata yuktanam. Bhajatam priti purvakam. His bhajan is full of love. Love means to please the beloved. He's doing bhajan, he's chanting to please Guru, he's chanting to please Krishna, he's reading to please Guru, and for his own purification, and his own modification of his behavior, and change of his life. So that person, he will become very pleasing to Krishna. Then Krishna will give the intelligence, dadami, dadami, I give buddhi. I will give you the power to say no. The power to say no comes from Krishna. If you please him, and it comes through Guru, you please Guru, then you get the power to say no every single time. Just like Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was alone in a gufa. Young man, very handsome body, effulgent, so much austerity, so much mantra. Then Maya Devi came at 12 o'clock at night. This beautiful prostitute came, all perfume and decorated, bangles, jing, 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 jing. Nobody else around, full moon is rising, very romantic, cool breezes blowing through the air. She came to break his brahmacharya, break his vow. So did he say, well, you know, maybe some... He said, no, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I have to finish my rounds. She said, no, I want to enjoy with you. No, I'm busy, I have to chant my rounds. Generally, Maya comes knocking on your door when your rounds aren't finished. Just like Haridas Thakur. His rounds weren't finished. So then Maya came. Hello? Ramnam? Ramnam, are you there? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. No, I'm not here. Hare Krishna. I'm finishing my rounds. Go away. Go away. Come back when my rounds are finished. So that's why Prabhupada said, if you chant 16 rounds every day, you'll never fall into Maya. So when the rounds aren't done, then Maya comes. When you haven't finished your japamala, your vrata, solar, you know, 16 rounds, or whatever it is, then Maya comes knocking. Hey, brahmachari, look at this on the computer, you know, they have, internet. You can go on your computer, brahmachari, and you know what you can find on the internet? All the wrong things. All the X-rated things. So, he's a brahmachari. Oh, he spends so many hours and hours in the office on his computer. I don't know what he's doing. He's looking at the internet. He's watching movies from all around the world on his computer. So, because he didn't chant his rounds. So Prabhupada gave us this promise. That I promise, I guarantee, if you chant your 16 rounds very nicely every day, you'll not fall into Maya. You will not leave Krishna consciousness. So Haridas, this is an interesting example we can see. That Haridas hadn't finished his rounds yet. Then Maya came. Because he was chanting 192 rounds. Of course there's many other points. So we chant our rounds early in the morning, finish our rounds, or at least every day we have to chant our 16 rounds. That's where then Krishna will be pleased, and Krishna will give you the determination. How can we defeat Maya? Even Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, the greatest demigods were defeated by Maya. But Haridas Thakur was not defeated because he had Nam Ashraya. He had shelter of the holy name. Harinama Shraya. Because he had shelter of the holy name, he was not defeated by Maya Devi. But Brahma was, Shiva was. They weren't chanting any rounds. Of course, Shiva was chanting, but that's a whole other pastime. He got proud. He was a little proud. Brahma fell down, but I never fell down. So then Mohini Murti came and gave him a good lesson. Although he was also chanting Hari Ram. The question is, unless you develop a higher taste, how do you develop the sankalpa or determination to give up the lower things? It's not a matter of unless. Every time you open the Bhagavatam, you're increasing your taste. Taste means, what does swad mean? It swad means, or ruchi means, your attachment to Krishna. You have to increase those activities which attach us to Krishna. So, because anything that connects us with Krishna automatically removes all the material contamination. And when the material contamination is removed, automatically we're very, very determined. That's why I explained that when the fire of transcendental knowledge, it burns up that sense gratification mentality, and then as a byproduct, you automatically become austere and detached. Because you have a taste for the knowledge. But this is like a person with jaundice. We have jaundice. We have a liver disorder. So the cure for jaundice is mystery. Mystery and nimbupani. So as you take mystery more and more and more, it finally becomes sweet. So this transcendental knowledge is mystery. It is a cure for our jaundice of ignorance. Avidya is a jaundice. So we have, the more we read, the more we become pure. And as we become, just like a man who has jaundice, has no taste for sweet. His liver is kharab and he's all yellow, pila varna, pila rang. He can't, so he's eating rock candy, but it tastes like sawdust. It doesn't taste like sweet. But as his health comes back, as he gets free from the disease of jaundice, then his taste for sweet awakens. Oh, this mystery is very sweet. And I like it very much. So the same thing, as we read more and more, the reading, this Brahma Vidya, this spiritual knowledge, it purifies that disease from the heart, that non-attachment to Krishna, that non-taste for Krishna. And what arises is taste for Krishna. You actually relish. The advanced devotee relishes hearing and chanting about Krishna. He enjoys. He gets a taste there. So that by reading, the medicine is to read more. You want to, how do you get the higher taste? This is the taste. How do you get the original taste of sweetness? By eating more sugar, more mystery. It cleanses the liver, cleanses the blood, and then again, rasgula, I can taste the rasgula, rubri, I can taste all these things. So now we're in ignorance and we have no taste for Krishna. So by reading more and more and more, that cleanses us, and then a taste awakens. Krishna is so tasty. We were singing last night, the Madhurastakam by Vallabhacharya. Lila Madhuram Gavo Madhuram Venu Madhura Jamuna Madhura Gavo Madhura. And he's saying everything is sweet about the Lord of Sweetness. Madhuradi Pater Akilam Madhuram. Everything is sweet about Krishna. Shristir Madhuram, he says Shristir Madhuram, Veda Madhuram. He said your Vedas are sweet, your creation is sweet, everything is sweet. Your cows, your coward boys, the Yamuna. So you can get tastes of everything in Krishna consciousness. But we have to expose ourselves. The books are just sitting on the shelf. We never open the books. They're sitting in a bookcase. Yes, I have all Prabhupada's books. I have a complete set. Hindi and English. But I never read them. We can't blame anybody but ourselves. We have to have some motivation. We have to have somehow we had the sankalpa that I don't want this material life. I want God consciousness. I want spiritual life. So that little bit of determination and sankalpa and sukriti brought us to the lotus feet of Guru. So now we have to increase that by sadhu sangha and by proper bhajan. Increase that determination. I must read. Oh, how can I go to sleep tonight without reading? Forget it. I don't care how tired I am. I get a book. I have to read 2 pages, 5 pages. Reading should become so vital to us. Just like a person who has jaundice, he won't become nonchalant or lackadaisical about his sugar candy. I don't have to take the sugar. No, he wants to take it because he sees it's improving his condition. So we have to want to read more and more. And Krishna will reciprocate with your desire. Yayatam mam prapadyante. As you surrender to Krishna, he reciprocates with you. Oh, look, he's trying. He's trying to read. He's trying more and more. But you don't try. If you don't try, how can you expect Krishna to come? If you take one step towards Krishna, what does he do in return? Prabhupada told us he takes 10 steps towards you. But we're so mundus sumandamatiyo, so lazy, we won't even take one step. Ah, I'm too tired. I was out on Sankirtan all day on collection. Forget the reading. And we shouldn't let a day pass by when we don't read at least 10 pages. We're supposed to be brahmanas and devotees. And this is our medicine. Brahma Vidya is the medicine. It will purify us. It will give us what we want. There's two things that we have in our hand. Brahma Vidya and Maha Mantra. Guru gives these two things. These are the things that purify you. If you don't take the Maha Mantra and you don't take Brahma Vidya, you'll never get purified. That is Guru. This is what Guru does. He gives Brahma Vidya, spiritual knowledge, and he gives mantra. And he teaches you Nam Tattva, how to chant mantra. Then you attain purity, and you attain perfection, and become attached to Krishna, and attain prema. No Brahma Vidya, no mantra, no proper understanding, no chanting, you'll take 1,000 births. Prabhupada said, the most purifying of purifiers, the most purifying of all purifiers is transcendental knowledge. Prabhupada explained this. And of course, the holy name. So these are the two things. We want purity, we want bhakti, we want taste, we want attachment, then we have to increase. Read more and more and more. We should become mad to read these books and hear philosophy. The first 10 years, I think about the first 13 years of my devotional life, I used to listen to Prabhupada's tapes 6 hours a day while I was distributing books. I was out in the airport distributing books, but listening 6 hours. I was out for 6 hours in the airport selling Bhagavatams to just meeting people. But I had my little tape player, little earplugs. We had some, I had like a wig. But we were listening all day long to philosophy, one after another, and so purifying. And moreover, as I was listening, I would speak to the people whatever Prabhupada said on the tape. Don't waste this human form of life. You should take this book. I hear Prabhupada say something. Don't waste the human form of life in sense gratification like an animal, like a dog or a pig. You should utilize this human life for self-realization. I would just hear it from Prabhupada and I would speak it. And the guy said, wow, all this is in this book? I said, yes, definitely. And he would take it. So it was very wonderful. So then as soon as we got home, then we read and read. And I see the result. Brahma Vidya and Maha Mantra. These are our friends. So you have to have a little drive, a little initiative. If you're a dead stone, then it's too bad. You have to take another birth. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Maya says, oh, I'm tired. I work so hard in the office, all day long. I'm too tired to read. No, that's Maya. When Maya says, you're too tired, I can't read. No, I'll go out in the fresh air, I'll take a cold shower, I'll take a cold bath, and I'll wake up and I'll read for a half hour. Then take some hot milk and fall asleep. That's sankalpa. That's determination. That comes by sadhu sangha. By associating with genuine sadhus, you pick up this utsaha, bhakti utsaha, enthusiasm for devotion. You get strength from devotees. So this is laziness. Our biggest enemy is laziness. We're lazy. Don't be lazy for Krishna. Isn't Krishna worth trying for? Isn't he worth trying for and attaining? Living eternally in Vrindavan with all the cows and cowherd boys and cowherd girls and Govardhan and Radhakund and Shamakund and Yamuna. And all the wrestling and playing and big feasts on the big Bhog Mahotsavs on the bank of the Yamuna and Ras Leela and Julana and all so many pastimes. Isn't it worth it? You work so hard in school and you work so hard in the workplace. For what? To get some piece of paper, some degree, some paisa, just to buy some rotis and some sabji? Dogs don't work, but they get roti and sabji every day. Dogs run around here and there, they get their roti and sabji. without education. Let's have some energy for Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.